This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. Yes, we're back. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 30th, episode 1923, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Goodness, we're back. I've had such a busy week and I've had nobody to talk to, Glenn. Oh my gosh.
Glad you're back. Chad's tired of hearing about your horse stories now.
No, he went out of town with Lucas to Oklahoma, but my farm sitter, I can't leave because my farm sitter is like 15 months pregnant. So she couldn't farm sit. So he had to go sign some papers for the house. So I was here by myself. And of course, Zeus had a puffy leg. So I couldn't ride him. It was just so much stuff. But
and you had nobody to talk to. You missed me.
I was like this crazy auditor poster on the Facebook page. I'm like, hey guys, it's me again. Like I nothing.
I did notice you posting a lot on the auditor page. It was like, wow, she's having a slow
week. Hello, I have to have some friends. How's your shoulder, by the way?
Well, yeah, thank you to everybody. The 50 messages I have not answered, mostly from auditors, actually, asking about my shoulder. My shoulder's doing fine. They did not have to put hardware in, which was good. So actually, pain level's been really, really good, except when I'm doing my exercises. And yes, I'm following the doctor's instructions. Then it hurts like hell. But go back to see him tomorrow. Hopefully be out of the sling and get stitches out and be back to healing. So it actually went much better than we thought. Lyme disease only acted up a little bit. But it turned out to be a busy week for us business-wise here on the network, so we had a lot to do there. So
hope that means you made money.
Lost some money, made some money. That's what happens every week when you run a business. But no, it was good. I mean, it was much better than we thought it was going to be. So thank you to everybody that reached out. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for everybody reaching out to me to talk to me because I was like totally bored and lonely.
Do you have a question? Are you going to start? That's your first... First, a question, first world problem today on the show is Jamie was lonely.
I was so lonely. I was like, poor Magic. You know what? Precious Magic Gallop Jennings clips now, and she also comes standing to the mounting block. She has all these new skills. Zara will clip. I mean, I have been through the ringer teaching them stuff on the ground.
You were bored.
I know. True. But that's okay. We'll get to it in just a second. Jen, why don't you tell us what's coming up on today's show first?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, the 2018 Kentucky three-day event is done and dusted, and Glenn and Jamie will provide you with all of the fun facts, figures, and inside information you need to converse with the cool kids at the barn this week. And then next up, Hannah Campbell Zaplata, or it's Zaplita, I'm not sure, is she's going to stop by and share her amazing journey to becoming a Monty Roberts certified instructor, one of only a handful here in the United States. And after that, listener-submitted equestrian first-world problems will help us feel both privileged and petty at the same time. And Eventing Nation takes a break from FEMA-funded website repair to provide a more balanced look at the weekend's Kentucky competition. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
So we'll see if Leslie shows up today. She's supposed to be on, Jamie, but, you know, she was there, obviously, and she is the editor now at Eventing Nation, which has been down for the last 22 hours. Their website is just not there. And apparently, according to their Facebook page, they had the biggest server crash ever. And I think that the IT department has just been fired. So I went this morning. You were just tried to go a little bit ago. It's still not there, right?
Blank screen. It's just blank. There's nothing there.
Yeah. It means they crashed the server. What they can hope for is that the backup was intact, because that would be bad. Having been through that before, I hope their backup's intact. We'll see if Leslie shows up, and she's going to tell us all about the party side, because they, I think they won an award over the weekend at Eventing Nation. So we're going to hear about that. And I am heartbroken to say the one time in 10 freaking years we don't go to Kentucky, Kaylee Cuoco was there, spotted in pictures all over the place.
You screwed up.
I did.
I will tell you that before we get into the Rolex stuff or the Land Rover stuff, I am not missing another year. I can't miss a year. I sat in front
of my
So
you were bored and you were
days.
Watching at home pining.
I was pining really bad, really bad. And then Abby, my student, went and she was sending me pictures. She's like, oh my God, I saw another basset hound. And she's like sending me pictures. And then I gave her money to buy me a t-shirt. So I'm like, take more pictures of t-shirts for sale. And so I made her send me all. I mean, it was just embarrassing. I was a big slobbery Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event mess.
Apparently us not being there caused good weather, though. So that was something.
It was so perfect. Oh my gosh. Oh,
I can't tell you last time you and I have gone together that we had good weather. It was this was a beautiful weather all weekend.
It was perfect.
All right, let's do Daily Winnies.
We'll talk a little bit about the results, okay. And I'll give you a little piece of my mind.
Okay. Did an American win? Oh no, not we don't do that. All
right. Move on.
Daily Winnie.
Watch yourself, because nobody's going to come on the show again.
My Daily Winnie, you know, there was this the big competitions all over the place. Jumping shows for millions of dollars and, of course, Eventing and Endurance and all these big shows over the weekend. But we can't forget that people are going to their first shows ever. And one of our terrific auditors by the name of Jill wrote on our Facebook page, so we did a thing. First horse show ever for me. And it was on my own horse. We even got Reserve High Point Award for intro level. She said the day was successful and I saw a lot of ribbons in the pictures. So congratulations to Jill and her horse. You know, we forget there are people out there going to their first horse show ever as adults.
I don't forget that. Come on now. This is amazing. I'm so excited for you, Jill. That's awesome. And you know what? Going to a show is not about winning the ribbons. It is about putting yourself out there. And that is so much harder to do when you're an adult and you're around peers that have been there, done that, done everything in the world. You know, it's so hard. And so I watched some of the video of what she was doing. I don't know what indoor arena she's in, but oh my God, it's like 4 football fields. It was so impressive. It was huge.
What show did she do? Was it dressage?
The video I saw was a dressage test.
Okay. Got it. Well, congratulations
to
Jill.
Cool.
You know, that is so cool. It's so neat to see
that. And she just bought that horse.
Well, you know, you're right. It's about going out there and doing it your first time and the butterflies and everything. But then when you get Reserve High Point, that makes it all. That's icing
true.
On the cake.
don't get used
so
to
much
that.
Pressure now. So
yeah,
much
exactly.
Pressure. It's like, oh, if you're an epic fail next time, what do you do then? Oh, my gosh.
Don't get used to that. Ask Michael Young.
That's right. All right, let's do this too. I have a second one here.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday to Auditor Kendra Gale. It's her birthday. And we had, about 25 birthdays over the last week while we were out of the auditors. And I couldn't go back and find them all on Facebook because it only allowed me to go back a day. So happy birthday in unison to all of you.
I should have kept a note, kept a list.
Because it only allows you to go back so far. I thought, I can go back and look at the whole last week. And I couldn't figure out how to do that. I don't know. Facebook's always changing stuff. So your turn.
Okay, I got to tell everybody, kind of get everybody caught up. Remember about a month ago, we had one of our auditors on who works for the Indiana Racing Commission, Racing Board.
Yeah.
And we had talked about wanting to buy a share in a racehorse. And anybody who was an auditor of the Horse Radio Network had the opportunity to buy a share. Well, today's the last day. If you are in, you need to go to the auditor's Facebook page and you need to write on the comments at the very top post. I pinned it to the top. If you're in 100%, and I don't need your comments about anything else, just if you're in. And if you're in, we have to have like 25 to 30. So we're getting close. And then we're going to own a Horse Radio Network racehorse.
Hey, I see one of our auditors just posted that she's in twice. For her brother gave for her niece and nephew. So
cool.
Isn't that cool?
Teaching the young children how to own and gamble young age. I fully support that.
We are here to corrupt.
Yes.
So do you know how many you do have? Are you close? Are you really close?
I have to count. I have to count. I think we're getting close.
Good. All right. Good. Well, let's hope that all comes about. Jamie will definitely keep you in touch on that. But if you go to if you're not an auditor yet, then it's a darn, and you want to own a piece of a racehorse with the group, then it's a darn good time to go do it. You better do it today. Go this morning. Go to horseradionetwork.com.
It's like $1 a month. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're like, you have to spend $150 a month to hang out with us.
$1.
No, it's like $1.
So go over there. You can donate all you want, but $1's the minimum. And you can go over to horseradionetwork.com. There's an auditor banner on the right side of the page. Just click on that, and it's very easy and simple to do. All right, there was this little event called Land Rover Kentucky over the weekend that we got, because we're friends with so many people who like eventing, we got to see 1,000 pictures of. And you watched it over the weekend.
Glenn seems to think that not everybody cares. Okay?
Not everybody cares about eventing.
You say that 50% of our listeners don't care about Rolex. And so
that's probably about right.
I'm going to put up a poll in our auditors page.
Well, I think the auditors probably do. If we took the whole listening audience.
Okay, you mean do the whole listening audience? I'll go to the Horses in the Morning Facebook page and I'll put up a poll. Do you care about Rolex? Glenn thinks people don't. 50% of you don't. I'm going to take a poll and we'll have the results on Wednesday because I think everybody cares. Okay. Everybody cares. How could you not care?
I think there's a certain number of trail riders, like 80% of the audience, that probably don't care.
Everybody, it doesn't matter if you don't do it. It's still impressive. I don't run high level eventing, but I look at that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how on earth do you get your horse to just blindly jump things like that in water? And it's so amazing. And I do the sport at a low level and I don't get how they can do that.
Well, I'm not arguing that point.
So that's why I think people care. Like, am I an endurance rider? No. But do I think the Tevis Cup is ridiculous and amazing? Yes. You know, I mean, it just, you have respect.
Well, tell us what happened. Tell us what happened.
Okay,
you watched it, right, on TV?
I did. I watched everything. And so what they did in the dressage, for those who watched it and care, I don't need to go into it too much because it was talked about the whole weekend, but they took away the coefficient in dressage. So dressage scores were super close, which meant all of the time penalties or jump penalties in any of in the cross country or
did
the show
they do
jumping.
It just for this show? And let's not go into coefficients. We tried to explain that before, and we've never gotten very far.
Well, but they would multiply the score by 1.5, and it would spread everything out. And they took that out, and now everything was so close. Like in show jumping, one rail dropped somebody in like sixth place down to like 19th. One rail or two time.
And they
penalties.
Were doing that to give more weight to dressage. Is that why they did it initially? It weighted dressage heavier.
It did weight dressage heavier. I don't know why they did that, because to me, it's not a dressage competition. It shouldn't be. So I think that what we saw this weekend was true to form eventing, where everything mattered. You didn't go into show jumping like, I got four rails in hand. Michael
right.
Young did not have four rails in hand. So we went into the final day. Let's see. Dressage, you know, guess what? Michael Young is in second place. He was in leading most of the day. And then Marilyn Little is in first place. And then, let's see. We had in the top, Oliver Townend had two in the top 10. And so it kind of got, it got super crazy on show jumping day because there were so many horses that were so incredibly tight. We're talking like tenths of a point away from each other. And to go into who won. So Michael Young is last to go. Oliver Towne
he was
went
leading.
Clean because he was leading. Yeah. So they go last and he went in and jumped around and knocked a rail. The Terminator, Mickey Young knocked down a rail in show jumping and lost. He came in second place, $60,000 rail. He came in second place, which meant Oliver Townend won. And then U.S. rider Marilyn Little came in third place. And I can't say that I cheer for Michael Young because he's so good and I want Americans to win. Well, when looking at the top three, I was totally cheering for him. Like, please, 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 because I am not a fan of Oliver Townend and I am not a fan of Marilyn Little. So I was like, please, Mickey, please, come on, Roxy. Oh, God. And I was like, this is like the weekend of Rolex. It's because I wasn't there. Like, I just have a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I just, all these people I don't like. And like, bleh! It was just not, it was so disappointing to me to see the results. But some really cool things. Please go watch Elisa Wallace's helmet cam and have your tissues ready. I was really proud of the West Coast rider, Tamara Smith, who we've had on our show a million times. She did really well. She ended up in 14th. Now, she ended up in 14th because she had one rail and one time penalty. So she was actually doing pretty well. She would have moved up considerably higher had she not had that rail. Let's see, 41. She would have been in 10th or 11th without that rail. So in the money. So that was another one that stood out. And oh my God, Boyd Martin is the funniest human on the planet. So he ran cross country. And then Frankie Terrio, who does the interviews after, she is a lovely girl. She lives out in California.
She's the blonde one, right? The long blonde hair. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Super nice. The nicest girl you'd ever want to meet. And she's so pretty that you're like, she's got to be a bitch, but she's not. She's amazing. And I like really wanted not like her. When I finished my first
training. She's been doing this for years now, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I finished my first training level cross country and I walked back to the barn at Galway Downs and she was in the barn. She's like, how'd it go? And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I did it. I did it pregnant. So Frankie and I always joke about that. Like, she's like, yeah, I remember when you totally like blurted out that you were pregnant. But yeah, it happens. So anyway, she's the nicest person in the world. So she says to Boyd, great job. Congratulations. You got through it. Now, basically, I can't remember the exact phrase she used, but something like, how are you going to take care of the horse's name is Setzerleg. But they call him Thomas. How are you going to take care of him? And Boyd goes, well, we're just going to take him back to the barn, give him a little water. We'll see. We'll be good to go tomorrow. He goes, like, did you just say you're going to give your horse? I'll give him some water.
It is kind of an odd question.
It was just something. I can't remember the exact why she said the question, but it was something like that. It didn't stand out to me as a weird question when she asked it, but just how his response is so funny. So I just loved how influential the show jumping rails were and time penalties on cross country. And it was
basically
really cool.
If you were in the top 15, you had a shot at the top five, which doesn't usually happen.
Even more. I mean, my gosh. Let's see. I'm trying to see.
And then, you're right. Elisa Wallace will go through some names of people that we've had on the show. She came in 26th with Simply Priceless, did quite well. She was very mm-hmm. happy with cross. I did watch the cross country. That was fun. The cross country course looked beautiful this time, too.
Oh, everything was amazing. And Jimmy Wofford said before it, he goes, this is by far the hardest cross country course we've ever seen at a 4-star. And I really thought there wasn't that much drama at all in it. There was some time, but nobody had some major crashes. Like Clip Clop and Joe Meyer had to retire. And then Ellen and
Holly
Doty
Bennett
and Sir.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Holly Bennett retired and Ellen fell off in the water. Just came in super underpowered to one of the jumps, but that happened. But there was no like major accidents or crashes.
No dogs biting horses on course.
No dogs loose at all. Such a technical course. And when you see like Philip Dutton and Z, if you can watch their round, Philip Dutton carried that horse over all the jumps. I was like, he's never going to make it. He's never going to make it. Then, of course, it's Philip Dutton, so he made it. But it was crazy. Really exciting to watch. So congratulations to everybody who was in it and completed or didn't complete and got qualified to get there. It was just amazing. So congratulations to all those guys.
And it looks like we'll be there next year for all of you that...
Yeah, well, I am. I don't know about you. I don't care what you're going to do this time.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you notice that on the live score page that we have the link to in our show notes, if you click on the rider's score, it brings up their dressage test with the scores?
That is super nerdy, and I don't care. No,
it does. It has every movement and
every
their
movement,
scores.
Every score from every judge.
Oh, that's really cool.
I don't know that they've had that before. Huh. Well, Jennifer, post that link to the results on our Facebook page, because sometimes it's hard to... you can't go to Eventing Nation, so sometimes it's hard to just find the results.
No, you can't. Go there now.
And I did just get a confirmation from Leslie. She is coming on this morning, so we'll find out from her what's going on over there.
Mickey Young gets 8.5s on his flyer. 8s on his flying changes. Unbelievable. Of course he does.
Of course he does.
Well, anyway, so that was that, and it was really cool. Now, something epic happened yesterday because Chad and Lucas got home yesterday afternoon from Oklahoma. And so as they got home, I was like, hey, let's go watch Avengers Infinity War tomorrow.
Oh, did you go see it with the crowds?
So our local theater, you can pick your seats. It's one of these like crazy nice chairs and they lay back and all this. And so I logged on. I was like,
Oh, you mean you reserve seats and row numbers at a theater?
Yes, at a theater.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I hated it at first. And it's awesome now because you don't have to show up early at all or stand in line. You just pick your seat and it's your seat. So I was like, I'm going to get us some seats. This is Saturday around noon. I start looking for Sunday. The movies are every 15 minutes it's starting. Every 15 minutes. The only, I found three seats together in the 9:30 a.m. showing in the second row on the edge. Every other one was complete. And nobody wants to take a four-year-old to like an 8 o'clock movie. I would just be mad at the person who did that. So I stick to the earlier ones, but everything was completely sold out. So I have a review for you guys. Just so you know, it cost $300 to $400 million to make. And you're like, oh my God, that's so much money. It made $680 this weekend.
Jeez. So it's passing, Black Panther had broke all the records, 2 months ago? And now it's passing that already?
Yeah, it beat Black Panther. And so I'm going to give you a review.
Spoiler free?
Spoiler free.
Okay.
Okay, it's going to take about 30 seconds. Avengers Infinity War. So, the movie starts out with like this bang and this crash. And then this guy sees this other guy and smash. And then these other guys come up and they're like, hey, who's that guy? He's totally awesome. And then that guy's like, hey, let's go here. And then they're like, cool, split up. You go there and we'll go here. And then they're like, OMG, this is totally crazy. And then these other guys are like, hey, what's up? And then the other guys are like, watch out. That dude is super bad. And then they're like fighting a lot. And then, that's all I can say. Can't give anything away.
You can tell us if you liked it.
I can't even tell you if I liked it because my opinion of it would lead you to think that something happened. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Because the reviews that I've been reading from people, my friends on Facebook who's been seeing it, who are really Marvel fans, some of them have been walking away scratching their heads a little.
So there's Avengers Infinity War, and next year, Avengers 4 is coming out, and it's like the next one. They have already done both of them. And the second one, these two movies together cost them $1 billion to make. $1 billion. So just know that
which you can tell by the 400,000 people in the credits.
Oh my gosh, so crazy! And you have to stick your go through the credits all the way through.
Okay, so there's an Easter egg at the end,
of course. And if I didn't know what it was because I'm not that savvy on comic books, so we Googled it and I typed in what was the and it came up in Google. So I was not the only one to Google that day. But I can't tell you if I liked it, and I can't tell you if I didn't like it, and I can't tell you why I liked it and why I didn't like it. The main reason I liked it was Thor was in it, and the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I just love those movies too.
I think they had about every Marvel character that they've ever had in a movie was in this one, right?
Except
like 55
one.
Of them, you know?
Just, yeah. Yeah. And Lucas kept going, where is Batman and Superman? And I'm like, no, no, those are DC. And he's like, what's DC?
Yeah.
Why? Where's
Wonder
Woman?
He wanted to know where Spidey was, didn't he?
Spidey was in it.
Oh, Spidey
Spider-Man
was
in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Spider-Man is in it. And it was funny because they're like, okay, kid, you know, this is not, we're not saving a bunch of kids in a school bus here.
So they... I actually like the guy who plays Spider-Man. He plays it so well.
Yeah.
He does a good job.
He played it really well. Yeah. And I think I found out that Iron Man, he's apparently the most popular, and he has the most popular movies, and he made like $50 million in this movie.
Oh, jeez.
What? That's crazy money. And they figure out like how to make money on the back end. But it is not over. So when a lot of people are mad because the movie just kind of ended, but you have to, of course, understand that like it's not over.
One of many.
And I need to see Doctor Strange. I'd never seen.
Oh,
Doctor
you got to see Doctor Strange.
For Thor Ragnarok. He was in Thor Ragnarok.
Doctor Strange was good. If you haven't seen Black Panther, it was probably one of the best Marvel movies we've ever. I just took Jennifer to see it. It was my second time. I'd seen it with Jemmy. And then we went, I took Jennifer to see it, and she agreed. It's one of the best Marvel movies made, Black Panther. It just had such a great story.
Can I tell you my favorite thing I've ever done for my child? This is the greatest moment as a parent that you can have. Lucas's birthday is at the end of May, and we're like discussing what kind of party he wants to have. And my child has now will say, what kind of birthday? What kind of party are you going to have? He's like, we're going to have a Black Panther party. That's the greatest thing ever.
Black Panther.
I made it as a parent.
Black Panther did more to empower women than any other Marvel movie ever. Because,
dude, all I care about is that it sounds like Forrest Gump. Okay. Sorry, I ruined your Black Panther party.
it did. It was a good movie. I can't wait to see the Avengers. We're going to go see it this week for sure.
Yeah, it's really good. And then there's like the smash and then the crash. And then like when the other people meet some other people, it's like super awesome. And then there's like some super not awesome moments.
Wait,
and then there's like some big things and some small things, and pay attention to the dialogue. And
I bet you after all that smashing and crashing, there were some superheroes with joints that were a little sore. So we know what they can do about it, at least for their horses, and that's talk to Omega Alpha. Let's hear about a little bit about joints.
My bone connected to the shoulder bone, the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
All I do have an announcement while Jennifer's setting up our guest, and that is that the individual competition tickets for WEG will go on sale Wednesday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. All they've had on sale at this point is the group tickets where you had to buy all of eventing or all of dressage or all of jumping. Well, the individual tickets are going on sale May 2nd, 10 a.m. Now, they're going to be on sale at tryon2018.com. I know it's not the easiest website to get around, but you'll find them there. Ticket prices and event schedule for the games, which are set for September 11th through the 23rd, are available, as I said, at tryon2018.com. They're available for jumping, dressage, paraquestrian, eventing, driving, reining, vaulting, and endurance, and they range from $20 to $175. So if you just wanted to come in for a day or two and didn't want to stay for the whole competition, then the people have been waiting for these tickets to go on sale, the individual tickets, and they're going to be available on Wednesday, providing their website doesn't crash as everybody tries to do this. So the other things that you'll find there are you'll find information about lodging, and they do have some of the tickets still available for the entire discipline. So if you want to go watch all of eventing or all of dressage, then those are available as well. But that was news that came out over the weekend and was highly anticipated by a lot of people waiting to buy their individual tickets. So those will be available.
Because people care about eventing. Okay.
We'll see if those tickets are still available. They're probably sold out. Jumping sells out first, and then usually eventing comes next. Jumping always sells out first. All right, let's talk to our guest.
All right. Well, we've got a Monty Roberts certified instructor, Hannah, and I keep getting communication from our listeners saying, okay, I want to find a Monty Roberts certified instructor that's in the U.S., and there are not many of them. But I found one. It's Hannah, and Hannah's in Georgia. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Great. Thank you for joining us. You got to pronounce your last name.
My last name is Zapletal.
Zapletal. Okay.
It's spelled exactly the way it sounds. Z-A-P-L-E-T-A-L. Zapletal.
Zapletal. All right. Fantastic, yep. Hannah. Thank you. Now, you're in Georgia, but you were not born in Georgia. You were born and raised in Haiti.
That is correct. Yes, I was. My parents were missionaries in Haiti, but they were not traditional in the sense that they were. Their background was heavy machinery and construction. So we actually worked with the people on road projects and reintroduced the horse and buggy concept because that was lost 500 years before when the slaves revolted from France. And so all that technology, you know, to us, that's ancient technology. The Assyrians, the Babylonians used horses to pull chariots and stuff like that. But to them, it was a completely new idea. And so I had the advantage of coming from generations of horse people. And my family is from Canada, actually. So I'm like a transplant of a transplant. so they went from Canada to Haiti. And then we left Haiti in 93 to go to, I came here to go to university. And I did that. And then went to Monty's. I found out about Monty in 95, and then he actually came to Atlanta right after the 96 Olympics. And I actually got to see how it was supposed to work as opposed to what I read out of the book. And that was really cool. And then I eventually went on to California in 99. And then I got my certificate for the instructor course in 2000. So I'm one of the oldies.
Yeah, no kidding. You were right at the beginning of the school. That's really cool.
Exactly. Now, okay.
So I was reading your bio and it said you trained at Woodward Academy. I went to Woodward Academy summer camp for like ever because I'm from Atlanta as well. I was like, oh my gosh, not be the same. They have an equestrian program there at Woodward. And now you live in Georgia. Now tell us a little bit about what you do, because it seems like you do a little bit of everything.
That is correct. I started the farm here in officially incorporated in 1996. And then we do, my main focus is children, actually. So I teach an enormous amount of riding lessons, both English and Western, although primarily it's English. And I want them to have we do the hunter discipline primarily. And I say that because I add to it a lot of balanced riding and also a lot of dressage. I want you to actually be able to ride. and we have 14 lesson horses. So by the time you get through the white belt horses at the beginning to the black belt horses at the end, if you don't know how to ride, it's not my fault.
Right.
And so we work through this. I do a lot of that. We do a lot of summer camps and birthday parties and trail rides. And then in addition to all of that, I also do the Monty Roberts stuff.
So
we do the joint.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you do, so when you get certified as a Monty Roberts instructor, you're actually able to hold courses of your own. So what are some courses that you offer of Monty's?
I do the join up follow-up clinics, the horsemanship 101, and the introductory course and the long lining. The advanced course and the course, the instructor internship have to be done in California.
Absolutely. So you do offer these, and let's say your website right now is wild with an E, woodfarm.com. If anybody wants to go on and find you, because I know we have a lot of listeners in our Southeast that would be interested, and your facility is absolutely incredible. You guys do.
It is a gift from God for sure. It is breathtaking.
How did you find this place? Tell everybody about Wildwood.
Okay. We like I said, we started in 96 and we had a very small backyard farm until about 5 years ago. And we outgrew it, and through a long series of complicated events with an ex-husband, we had to leave the farm that I built from the ground up. So that was a little traumatic, but you know, life goes on. And we were actively looking for another farm because, you know, where am I going to take 28 horses to? And Atlanta is gobbling up every farmland piece that's available as the city continues to sprawl and grow. And this big farm that we were at actually went through foreclosure in 2008, and it was hidden in, you know, those, one of those markets where nobody knows who owns the property, but it's just not available. And a friend of ours, who actually I buy hay from, he called me and he said, "Hannah, that big place is up for sale at auction on Tuesday next week, and I'm going to buy it. Would you be interested in renting the horse piece?" And I said, "Yeah." I mean, that's like the pie in the sky farm, right? It's like the unattainable dream. And so he is very blessed financially. And so he went and bought the property, and then we moved in January of 2014.
Wow. That's amazing.
Truly, truly. And so we started off, and, you know, I had to do some repair work at the beginning and some cleanup and, you know, just stuff we've been sitting idle for almost 5 years. And then I've been getting it going. What I love about that piece of property the most is that big covered ring. Oh, my gracious. So even in Georgia, where we don't have terrible weather, we do get a lot of rain. And so new people always are like, "What are you going to do if it rains?" And I'm like, "Right." We have a covered arena. It doesn't matter what it does.
Having lived in Atlanta with horses for 30 years, it is incredibly hard to find a facility with a covered arena. So it's pretty lucky.
That is true. There aren't very many of them.
It's true. So let's talk a little bit about your certification and Monty. Why was, with all of the things that you've learned and done and grown up with, why was learning Monty's techniques and getting certified important to you?
I am a scientist by trade, and I want to know the why. I'm glad that stuff works, but I want to know why does stuff work? And so I was given a mare back in 95 that nothing I knew how to do could fix her. I mean, you go out in the pasture and she was rearing on her hind legs, and the kids were not, you know, the kids that I taught were not allowed to even go in her field because she was extremely aggressive, had been abused severely, and her mentality of it, "Well, I'm going to get you before you get me." And nothing I knew how to do could fix her. And I worked on her and worked on her and worked on her and worked on her and worked with her. I'm like trying to unlock this mare because I was terrified to give her to anybody else because she'd kill somebody. I figured at least this way I would be able to manage her, you know, sort of in her own field. And so I was looking for what could unlock this mare. And I knew it was possible. And she was a very valuable mare. The stud fee on that mare alone was $12,500. I'm like, even from the pedigree standpoint, you got to be able to do something, honey.
Wait, what do you mean her stud fee was $12,500?
the people that bred her, like that bred for her, paid $12,500 for her to be born. I'm like, you are a valuable mare. It's not like you're an old scrub $200, you know, auction horse. This is a very right. valuable, expensive, beautifully bred mare. And I'm like, why, you know, first question is, why in the world would anybody harm her? That was the first question. And the second question is, how do I help her? Mm-hmm. And I was still in school full time. And I was on spring break, and I went up to Equine Affair up in Ohio. And that's a very cool thing to do if you ever get a chance to go see it. And John Lyons was there, and he was working, and he was using the round pen. But it was more like almost like a cookbook recipe type of thing where you need a round pen, a horse, a rope. Well, I have all that. And he never explained to my satisfaction on why you make the horse run and why you turn them and why you turn them in versus turning out. And so, you know, the horse that he was working with was coming around, but I didn't understand why he was doing it. And so I came home and I tried it. And, you know, I could make the horse turn in and turn out. You know, that wasn't a big deal. And she responded a little bit maybe, but like I said, I didn't understand why we were doing it other than I knew that's what we were supposed to do.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So just so you know, let me stop you, because I started to get certified John Lyons, and this was the exact issue that I had. Yeah. You do the inside turns and the outside turns and all this and stop them here. And this, but why? It didn't make any sense to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Exactly. Okay. I'm apparently a scientist too. So, you know,
you know, I want to know why things work. I don't know. You know, it just is. It's like, I'm glad that it works, but why? Because if I know the why, I can change it for any horse because I can adapt it and twist it and make it work for that horse where it might not work for a different horse. So a friend of mine gave me Monty's book, Man Who Listens to Horses. And I read through it and I'm like, oh, great. What a nice sounding guy. And he had a rough life and blah, blah, blah. And then I got to the horse training part and I was like, wait a minute. I've seen these signs, but I had never put two and two together. Mm-hmm. And so I went out. I'm like, the bear's name was Lady. And I'm like, Lady, you and I are going to learn how to do this. And we're going to find out real quick whether this works or not. I'm like, I have nothing to lose. I've had 2 years on this mare already. I'm like, what's 2 hours, you know? And so
you're going out to do a join up. Okay. Join up.
Yes. Yes. And so I didn't know what I was doing. I'd never seen a join up. I'd only read about it. And, you know, and in his book, he was talking about Shy Boy, where he chased him across the wild. Well, that's great. But I don't have 4 days to chase the mare across the wild, but I did have a round pen. And so I went out and we did join up, and it took about 2 hours because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what it was supposed to look like, but I was going to try it. Well, she went from this rearing, plunging, terrifying animal to work with. Within about 3 days, there was another mare that was pastured with her that was the best lesson horse on the planet for beginners, a little bay mare with a star. And this mare was also a bay mare with a star. And the kids, I had sent the kids out to go catch Conspiracy, who actually had a bad name but was really an awesome horse. And they had caught Lady instead and had brought her in. To catch her and brought her in and had her tied in the cross ties. And I'm going, oh, please don't panic. Please, this is not Conspiracy. This is Lady. And they're like, really? But I mean, the mare was standing there quietly. Her head was down. Her eyes were quiet. The kids were brushing her. And I'm like, this is like the man killer horse.
Oh my gosh.
So I unclipped her and put her back out in the field and brought Conspiracy. And, you know, but it changed the mare that much. Mm-hmm. And so then I got fired up because I'm like, if it'll do this much for this mare, what could it do for a normal horse that wasn't traumatized? And so I started doing my version of join up with every horse I could get my hands on. And it wasn't pretty, you know, it wasn't polished like Monty does it. It was rough. And he came to Atlanta in 96 after the Olympics came. And I got to watch him do it. And I'm like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. 10 minutes. Oh, got it.
Yeah, like, not 2 hours.
But even still, 2 hours was short compared to the 2 years I'd already put into the horse. And so I got to watch him do it. And then he came back to Atlanta again the next year. And by this time, I'd been playing with it for 2 years. And I was watching what he didn't say, you know, and the body language and how he was standing and what he was doing with his hands and where his eyes were, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was fired up. I was like, this is pretty cool. And I was training horses professionally, you know, all along. And it just made my life so much safer. And my gift was very bad horses, you know, the most dangerous, the rearers, the buckers, the savage horses. Those were my specialty. And people would send them in from literally all over the United States for me to work with them. And it made my job so much safer because these were not nice horses. These weren't just your average greenies. These were very dangerous horses. And so I worked with him, and a friend of mine was boarding a couple horses at my farm at that point. She said, Hannah, you have a gift with this. You need to go to California and take one of his join-up clinics. And I said, well, I was still in school. I'm like, I can't afford to go to California like I could afford to fly off to the moon. Right. And she said, no. She goes, you really need to do this. And she made it possible. She said, we'll work it off and board, and I will pay your trip.
Wow.
And so which is really, it was a tremendous gift. And I went there, and Crawford Hall was the dean of students at the time. And if you ever had the opportunity to meet Crawford, you know what kind of a gem he is. Mm-hmm. And he said, Hannah, he goes, you need to come back into the instructor course in 2000, which was like the next, like in January. We were there in the summer, and then the instructor course was in January. And so, I'm like, I can afford to go to take 5 weeks out of a farm. And as you well know, if you don't work the farm doesn't make any money.
Yep, I'm familiar.
Exactly. Unless you're pushing it, it doesn't work. And so I'm like, to afford to be gone for 5 weeks for an instructor course, which means I have to pay for the class and all the, to get out there and to stay and blah, 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 at the same time as run the farm.
Yeah. The instructor course is not 5 weeks anymore. But the internship is 3 months. So that's, I'm in the midst of my internship now, and I have a farm here in Phoenix, and I'm trying to figure out times, and I have a kid, and trying to figure out, like, husband, kid, I'm going to leave you on the farm, and I'm going to go be an intern, so,
exactly.
It's ultimately worth it in the end. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. Oh. It's a long process. The courses are excellent, and I encourage anybody, especially a new horse person up and coming, to take the introductory course, because it goes over so many different facets about the horse, mm-hmm. Way beyond join up, but the actual anatomy and physiology and how a horse thinks and how you train them and all that kind of stuff. It's really a wonderful course. And then if you want to go on, of course, then there's other courses available. But that one in particular, I think, is really, really, really spectacular.
Okay. When is your next course? What is your schedule?
That's a very good question. I have two students that are waiting on a time, so I would guess probably early August. We don't have that one set up yet, but once we get four, then I will run one. It's not horribly popular down here. At least it has not been in my experience that it's very popular. So it takes a little bit to get people that want to do it together, and then we can run it.
I know. It's not like in Germany where everybody, Monty is so well known. Everybody knows him, but I lived in Georgia forever and in Arizona, and I didn't know that this was available to me. And it
exactly.
has just changed my life in the way that I work with horses. So mm-hmm. it's like a gift that you give yourself on. You can figure anything out. I can figure it out now because we have the pieces and the tools. So if mm-hmm. you guys are interested, please go to wildwoodfarm.com. How else can people get a hold of you?
They can actually email me, which is Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, @wildwoodfarm.com. Or you can also check us out on Facebook, which is just Wildwood Farm, Inc. We're also on Instagram, or they could just call me. And my number is 770-843-2478. That's the business number. So they can get a hold of me that way also. And I also do texting.
All right. Hannah's
we're all over the place.
So just reach out, put their name on the list, and once you get enough, you'll get back to them.
And you are in a place in Georgia where August is nice, especially with a covered arena. So don't fear August, North Georgia. It's actually kind of mountainous and beautiful where she is.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. It's definitely hot, so don't plan on bringing your sweatshirt. but shorts and a t-shirt is more than sufficient.
Perfect. Hannah, thank you so much for coming on, and good luck, and keep us posted about anything new coming on. When you do finally get one, send me a message and we'll make sure we talk about it.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And of course,
there's one in Georgia now.
Yeah. And we did have people asking about Georgia, I know specifically. So there you go. Well, you, you also want to hear about, I saw a couple of posts this morning, are going to be talking about Derby. Yes, we will be talking about Derby starting on Wednesday and Friday. Of course, we're talking about Derby. We do every year, but that'll be Wednesday and Friday. We'll be picking up the Derby chatter. So that'll be happening then tomorrow.
I just can't figure out my pick yet, okay?
I haven't either. You're going to have to help me because we got to get the complete list. So
I got the list. I got the breakdown. I've got everything you need to know about these Derby horses. Okay. I will bore you to tears or you'll just cut me off on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, we look forward to being bored to tears. I'll try and put together some sound packages for you like I have in the past that gives everybody goosebumps, too. That wakes everybody up in the middle of your boring part. And also tomorrow, Emily is back with a jumping episode. So if you have any questions for Emily in regard to jumping your horse, then just send them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com and she'll make sure Emily gets them for the recording. But so Emily will be back tomorrow, brand new show. We'll have brand new shows for you all week. Well, let's take a break for A Horse That Can Fly, one we haven't heard from in forever from Templeton Thompson. And then we're coming back with a question, First World Problems. And Leslie is going to give us the complete Land Rover report. And it'll play, maybe. There we go.
All caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head, gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is. Good running star, she gave me up the fence. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind. And a horse that can fly. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding them tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. I need a horse that can fly. Feeling all cooped up, feeling all caged in. I need
Templeton Thompson with A Horse That Can Fly. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Are you ready?
I guess so. I had to. Sorry. Wait a minute.
What?
I got so many. So I'm trying to like edit them out to where you don't go, okay, one more. And then I have to pick one. So I'm trying to like.
Well, let's be honest. If we let you do all of the first world problems that our listeners have, that's all the whole entire hour and a half.
It would be. And I'd love it. It would be the greatest show ever.
We do have Leslie coming up. So we just have to get to her eventually. But here we go. Okay.
Remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. And the meme that I chose today, because I always find a meme.
I thought it was disturbing, by the way.
It actually says first world problems, and it's a picture of a little girl crying, and it's like a news clip, and on the bottom it says pony was stolen. And actually I picked the softest one because it's actually if you Google white girl problems, that's number one. Apparently. I didn't know. I just clicked away till I found that. And then it's like white girl problems. So I found one that said first world problems. But apparently the white girl problem to have your pony stolen.
Because it is sad to have you. That is a first world problem when your pony's stolen.
If you have ponies, yeah.
Yeah.
If people don't, they just all think we're jerks. All right. Starting out with, again, these are submitted by our listeners, and they're real problems, you guys, real problems. Hillary says, my husband says I can't buy a share in a racehorse because I have to buy a house. Leave that guy.
I'm kind of with the husband, actually.
Chantel says, I have to go to work today instead of be with my horses. That's the Monday morning blues right there. Mm-hmm. And Samantha has a Monday morning blues too, because I spent all weekend at Land Rover and I'm sunburnt and I'm tired and saddle sore and foot sore, but I have to go to work today. Elizabeth says it's going to take me three whole, and this is for real a problem. It's going to take me three whole connections to get from Land Rover, Kentucky to England for badminton, and it's supposed to be sunny next week, so I won't have a chance to heal from my Kentucky sunburn.
Apparently the sun was a problem in Kentucky.
Oh, I feel so bad. Jessica said, I had to use the much more expensive farrier because he was scheduled to come out on Saturday for a border, and my horse pulled a shoe before my regular farrier could come out. Oh, too many farriers. Kayla says, it's going to be sunny and 70 in Michigan today. I can't wait to ride. Oh, wait. I'm a grown-up. Grown-ups have to work.
Monday morning blues. Sorry.
Yeah, lots of Monday morning complaints. Jess says, I got my horse's hocks injected last week, so I could start legging her up again. And then she rolled on something. Has a big sore on her back, and now I can't put a saddle on her. Ugh. Nikki says, I forgot to wash my saddle pads while my husband was away, and now he's heading back home. Oh, my God. Get him done. Quick.
And then make sure you run it empty once. He'll know. We know.
Yeah. They know. We don't really care if you know, honestly. That's kind of the main thing. It's like, yeah, I did it. So what? What are you going to do about it? Diane says, my horse was moved into a big new pasture, and now I have to open three gates to get to him and walk through another paddock with two other horses. Oh, how do you do it? Joy says, my fiance was supposed to build me a custom tack box, but he's been too busy playing with his new Land Rover. Kimberly says, it's not even May and I already have a tan line on my wrist from my riding gloves. Gosh, people complain about anything because just like last time we did this, it was snowing, you know?
Right, exactly. Now they're all like, the sun came out. Now they're all bitching about that.
Yep. Carly says, oh, poor Carly. I have to try to mentally prepare myself to get back to work after my week-long trip in Costa Rica. Ugh, poor thing.
Poor Carly.
Rachel, picking a stallion for my mare is so hard. I only have 6 months to decide. Poor thing. Rachel, a friend of mine asked if I wanted her to... No. Rachel, she wrote it wrong. A friend asked me if she wanted to pick me up a Hamilton ticket. And I said, sure, if it's a cheap ticket, she got a ticket for me. It was $250.
Yeah, that's the cheap ticket. I got news for you, Rachel. They were selling for like $1,000.
It's a play, right?
It's a play. Like, yeah, it's a very, very, very popular play.
Jessica says, my cereal just got all soggy because I was sitting on a conference call and couldn't eat because they'd hear me crunch.
That's a first world problem.
Wendy, Dr. Wendy Ying submits, I have to get all new fans from my barn because last year's are too loud and I can't hear horses in the morning on my new iPhone 10. Marissa says, speaking of iPhone 10, I just got one and I totally love it, but it doesn't recognize my face when I'm in my helmet.
Nor does anybody else.
Facial recognition in those things. Wow.
Yes, they do, Robin, actually.
Robin says, I have to pump up my tractor's tire before I can use it to move all of my hay. It's such a pain. Oh, the fact that you have a tractor and you have hay, it's just all of these are just fantastic. These are real world problems, you guys. Seriously. The final one is Marissa says, I need to buy a new jump saddle for my horse, but I need to sell his nice jump saddle first. It didn't fit. And then I just realized that I have like three more saddles in my house and tack room that like don't ever get used that I could probably sell, but I like hate the work involved with selling them. I get it, girl. I get it. I can't. I've had my Devaku for sale forever. Anybody need a Devaku? You let me know. Dressage, monoflap, the Makila. It's amazing.
Or if you need a small little black pony, you can get one of those too to go with the saddle.
You know what? Yeah, that's true. I do have the pony for sale too, who, by the way, clips now. And you stand on the mounting block and she side passes over to you for you to get on.
There you go. Amazing. That's the important stuff. Well, I have good news for everybody. Well, I have two bits of good news for everybody. One is that Leslie from Eventing Nation is here. And two, Eventing Nation is back. Hi, Leslie.
Is it?
It is. I just looked.
It's not back.
It's,
oh. It hasn't been updated.
I see that. It's back, but it's not up
Saturday
to date.
Saturday at 5 p.m. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, but we did talk about the fact that Eventing Nation crashed again this year, which is a good thing, right? It's something we all dream about when we're in this business. And but then it's not good when you can't get it back up like within an hour, and then you pray your backup is there.
Yeah, we thought we had our ducks in our tech guy, who I am looking forward to as soon as this company gets the site fixed, to firing this week.
Bet you are.
assured us last week that, you know, we had a new server put a very expensive server upgrade this year that was supposed to scale up and down with traffic. And he assured us that you could land an aircraft on it. This server was so big. And so big. It was huge. And but indeed, the thing started getting glitchy on Friday. And then by midday Saturday, it was down.
Oh, you mean you went down on Saturday? Oh, that sucks.
So, yeah, and we're still actually not able to do anything with the website. So they're get into the back.
Well, it does say your headline article is the stage is set for Mikhail Young to win his fourth at Kentucky.
So I know we can only just get in there and edit that headline, you know. But
I feel for you. I feel for you. We did an upgrade last year, and I noticed our website's getting slow again. It's like, ugh. Yeah. I mean, it's a good problem to have. It means we're both getting traffic, but it's also a bad problem to have because it's going to cost you a lot of money. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. Well, how was it? I mean, everybody's complaining about sunburns, and the first time that Jamie and Jennifer and I don't go in 10 years, it's finally sunny.
Ah, the weather was just glorious. All the entire week, it was just one of those beautiful, sunny, cool spring, late spring weekends, and
no snow, no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no, nope. Nah.
Yeah, it was great. It was unbelievable. An exciting competition too. The synopsis for those of you guys who are just turning in, we had an American Marilyn Little led the dressage on RF Scandalous. Then cross country, she picked up a bit of time, dropped down, second placed, Mikael Young and Fisher Kana, the world number one slid into the top spot. They had just a fraction of a time penalty. And, in third place, the Brit, Ollie Townend and Cooley Masterclass were in third. And then, so it all, you know, it's never ever, it's till it's over. We had the top two cross country horses, Fisher Kana and, Chris Burton's, Nobilis 18. Chris is an Australian rider, and, they both were held in the final horse inspection. So that was a little bit of a nail biter. They were represented and passed, but it was a little bit of a, you know, like, I wonder if, you know, the Grand Jury sees something. I wonder if they're a little creaky this morning, maybe a little tired, and could that open the door for, you know, someone else moving into the top. And of course, everyone, there's lots of cheering for Shurikana, because if she'd won, it would have been her third year in a row winning the event. I mean, fourth year in a row.
Fourth, yeah.
Yeah, which would have been historic. But they had a rail, and as did second place Chris Burton, had a couple rails, and so third placed Ollie Townend moved up into the top spot, and which is its own exciting storyline. He won Burley last fall, and so he won Burley. He's just won Kentucky. I think, you know, there's a.
So is he in the line for the Grand Slam then?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And the third one of that is badminton coming up, or?
Yeah. Badminton's this weekend. So, yeah. Yep. And also I think this moved him, gave him enough sort of points on the, FEI world rankings to move him above Mikael into the top spot.
Who thought we'd see him be knocked off that top spot anytime soon, to be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
this to me, Leslie, was a weekend of good things happening to bad guys. Like, just good things happening to bad people is how I felt about all the results. And bad things happening to good people like Mikael. Yeah, I just wanted him to win a fourth title. I mean, I wanted an American to win, not Marilyn. But I wanted, you know, like Lynn Szymanski and Donner. Oh, my gosh. I was so cheering for them. I was so hoping
that
they were going to move up.
Oh, yeah. That would have been really cool if Lynn had moved up. She, unfortunately, they were tied for in fourth place after cross country and had a rail down, but they looked awesome, and I think their big finish bodes well, you know, like keeps them in the running for, you know, at the forefront of everyone's mind right now is everyone's vying for a spot on the World Games squad. So, you know, I think selectors will be looking very hard at this.
Well, actually, this weekend kind of throws that all up in the air, because I think that that ranking is going to change a little after this weekend from what everybody thought it was going to be. So,
yeah. We've still got time. We've got Badman. We've got Lemulin is the German four-star. That's the final selection trial, and that happens in June. So, you know, it's not, there's definitely, this is not an end all be all. And of course they also take past results into consideration also, but
well, and then the health of the horses, that's the other thing. I mean,
health of the horses. Yeah. Yeah, of course. And then horses can, you know, horses do what horses do.
Anytime you run them at those big events, or anytime you do anything with them. Let's be honest.
Yep.
Let's talk about the most important win of the weekend. It was not in the arena. It was in tailgating. So did I see a blue ribbon there, Leslie?
I mean, that didn't necessarily mean that we won the tailgate, but But yeah, it was funny. One of our volunteers, you just never know with the tailgate. You just never know. By the way, you guys were deeply missed for Rolex. I mean,
Leslie Wiley, I can tell you something. I'm not missing again. Just so you know.
No, never. You're never off the hook again. Yeah, people were asking about it throughout the day, and I just was, you know, I was just like, nope, it's not Kentucky trivia without
you. Didn't even do it?
Horses in the morning. Nope. You guys are Kentucky trivia. So
now
you're
I feel
the
bad.
Look what you did, Glenn.
I know. I feel bad.
You ruined everything.
I will not have surgery before Rolex next or Land Rover next year.
It wasn't planned. You were just like, oh, I'm going to WEG. I'm not going to Rolex. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to WEG. So I guess I'm not going to Rolex. Now I'm like, now I don't care. Screw you. I'm going anyway. I don't care if you're going or not.
You gotta go. You can't miss it.
How was it? How was the tailgate all day? It's always a highlight for us.
We had a great time. We had a fantastic time. It was just a fun, just the usual sort of in and out of friends and fans, and we had snacks. We had a signature cocktail this time.
Oh, what was it?
Around. It was a vodka lemonade. Lemonade. It was very refreshing.
Now you're really depressing, Jamie.
You say vodka, I'm in.
Add lemonade, she's good to go.
yeah.
But now, screw all that. I want to know the most important question. Did you meet Kaylee Cuoco?
I did not. No. I didn't even see her. I don't know. Was she there?
Yeah, there were pictures of her all over the place. She was out in cross country and with her, you know, jumper boyfriend guy.
Yeah.
The
jumper folks, they have all the, you know, the famous people and the famous kids. And I didn't realize Grand Prix show jumping this year, in addition to the eventing. And in the press conference, the second place person was Eve Jobs. And I had to sit there and maybe. And so I emailed her, and it was in fact Steve Jobs' daughter.
Oh yeah, it is.
Didn't realize that she had new Bill Gates' daughter.
She did well, right? She did, came in second?
She came second, yeah.
Apparently the jumping.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. Somebody named Eve Jobs, who is a high-ranking, big-money show jumper, did not make you think Eve Jobs?
No,
that wasn't a definite clue.
Yeah, I mean, that was the clue. I was like, I wonder if would Steve Jobs name his daughter Eve Jobs? And I was like, does he have another kid that's just named Stuff? Like. I don't know. I was like, would a dad do that to their kid? And yeah, indeed. It was her. But it's kind of fun to see all the, you know, like the celebrity side of things.
Now, I heard that we had the guy on who ran the show, the jumping in Saturday afternoon. It's the first year they did Grand Prix show jumping in the arena. And he was saying it was sold out. Was the place packed?
It was packed. People were loving it. I hope they do it again next year because it was just like the perfect.
And they sold separate tickets. It wasn't like you got in for free. You had to buy your way in.
It makes so much
more sense than the raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is it just kind of makes the 4-star show jumping on Sunday look small.
I was like, that's tiny. It's like meter 30th. Oh, it's so small. Yeah. And the course is huge. You know, when you look at like how much space they had to do that in compared to like an indoor show jumping. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It was bonkers. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they did that. I'm really glad they did that. And you know what? It probably helped the vendors too, because everybody hung around longer. Instead
Absolutely.
Of just leaving after, you know, shopping quick and then leaving after Saturday after, you know, after cross country, they hung around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was just one of those great days. Great days for the sport. Everyone was safe. It was exciting. You know, there was, you know, lots of folks out. The sun was shining. We had the Grand Prix to go to afterward.
Was the crowd big?
Yeah, I think it was a little smaller than last year. I wonder if there aren't I think more folks out there who are like, ah, I gotta either choose between I think WEG that's what was happening. Kentucky. So
from what I've seen on Facebook, there were a lot of people choosing between the two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and individual tickets I just announced today will be going on sale on Wednesday for WEG, people will be able to get into eventing. Now, Jennifer, you did some research on that. You found something about the Saturdays at WEG, right?
Oh, yeah. I went in and did a little research on the ticket sales, and you can buy a all-sessions ticket for your discipline of choice, but you cannot buy a one-day ticket. In other words, you can't buy a ticket and go for Saturday or Sunday.
You could
buy a one-day ticket for a
you
Thursday
could, but those sold
or
out.
Tuesday, but you can't buy a Saturday or a Sunday one-day ticket.
Those sold out. They did have those available, but they had sold out, I think, early on.
Yeah.
What are you hearing?
So if you want to watch eventing cross-country, you have to buy all of eventing.
And we'll have a complete report where the WEG show will come out today. We're recording it right after this one with Samantha. What are we hearing there? Are the inventors excited about Tryon? Or?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's so excited. So excited. Yeah.
And you got your pass. You're good to go. You're locked in with your press pass.
I don't think I've gotten mine yet. I have applied, but...
well, if you need a place to stay, we have a floor that you can probably sleep on. We rented a house. So.
Amazing.
Well, we're so glad you had so much fun, and thank you for stopping by. I know I really didn't expect you today with the website being down and you just heading back and everything, but we appreciate you being on.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. And I've got nothing with the website down. Got nothing better to do. But hopefully we'll get that up back up and running soon.
Yeah, you fire that guy later this week. That'd be so satisfying.
Hang in there, girlfriend.
All right, we'll see you later.
Okay, you guys have a great week.
All right, bye. You know, when we were talking earlier in the show about how it's the big victories and the small victories, well, we had a small victory here at the farm Saturday. Didn't we, Jennifer, with your horse, Nigel? So Nigel, it can be a challenging loader. He just doesn't want to. And, you know, we've done all the Monty Roberts stuff, but he doesn't like do anything bad. He just stands on the ramp and looks at you like, I'm not doing this. And that can go on sometimes for quite a long time. And Jennifer does the Monty Robert method, which you can find at Monty Roberts University. And she's been doing it for a long time. It's just Nigel, he can be stubborn. And on Saturday, so what I usually do is, while I'm waiting to put the butt bar up, because it can be 20 minutes, I just read my phone on Facebook and stuff. So she's loading to go to a trail ride, and Nigel had been kind of a turd that morning. He was in a bad mood, and I thought, well, this is going to be 30 minutes. So I'm looking at my phone, and she leads him up to the ramp, and all of a sudden, within 30 seconds, Nigel's in the trailer. Just walked right on. First time ever. Major accomplishment.
Yay.
It's a little
very
things, right?
Good.
It's a little it is. Things now, when you have horses.
Jen, one little tip that I have found really helps those that get a little bit stuck is to take some plastic on a stick up behind them. Don't touch them with it, obviously, but you just raise it up and just...
Yeah, he has this habit of rearing when you do that.
Well, you get some more work to do than on the ground before you start doing that.
So she's patient him in, and he walked right in. And then he was good, fantastic. Wasn't he, Jennifer, for the first time? He didn't jig the entire trail ride.
He walked. It was so cool that we walked on a trail ride while everybody else was walking on a trail ride.
I'm telling you, man, it's like they learn. It's weird.
Eventually. Sometimes it seems to take longer than you want it to, though. She was so happy when she
drank
home.
Water, too. That was a first. It was an amazing weekend.
Yeah. It's the little things. Amazing. When you have horses, it's always the little things that really make your day, isn't it?
Wonderful. Yeah. He drank water. Yay! Yeah.
Yep. So that's about it for today's show. Emily is here.
I want to keep you guys. I've got to update you. I have 20 people that are in
and you
on
need 30,
the race
don't you?
So, Glenn, can I put you down?
Jennifer won't let me. You have to talk to Jennifer.
So this is like the Horse Radio Network. You know what? We're not going to let the Horse Radio Network be a part of it. We're going to come up with some other side name if you're not going to be a part of it.
That's what she said. I'm not allowed.
It's going to be the Cool Kids, not anything to do with the Horse Radio Network.
Okay. The Cool Kids Club.
So You guys think about it and decide whether you're in or not. If it comes down to it and we don't get to do it, I need 25 to 30. Okay. And I have 20. So we're almost there, people. I'll call Leslie Wiley back, see if she wants it.
There you go. There you go. You know, she could post that on Eventing Nate. Oh, no, she can't. Sorry.
That was harsh, dude.
I know. Harsh. From one web person to another. Sorry, Leslie. Had to do it. Had to take it. It was there.
So get your jumping questions in if you have a jumping question for Emily, right?
Yes, Emily is tomorrow. Yep. But they're recording that today. So you need to get them in right after the show today if you're listening on Monday morning. I have one other thing I wanted to mention because this applies to all of us. And I was kind of figuring out when our 2000th episode was going to be. And I think it's going to be around WEG time. I think it's going to be in September, October. But one of the things that came out, and this is the first time they've really come out with statistics like this, is Apple Podcasts or iTunes came out with their statistics on podcasts, and I'm going to blow you away here with some, because we are a podcast, and this is the world we live in, and you all listen to podcasts.
Speaking of podcasts, do you watch that show, Alex, Inc.?
No, I haven't tried it.
Oh, you have to go watch it. It's good.
Is it good? Yeah.
Yeah.
iTunes launched back in 2005. That's when podcasts kind of began. Officially. And since then, they, according to Apple, currently, are you ready for this, have 525,000 active shows.
Wow.
With 18 million episodes available. Now, we're only at 2,000 of those, but we contributed. In over 100 languages, 155 countries. Get this. They have had, as of March 2018, they passed the 50 billion all-time episode downloads. That's total number of downloads was 50 billion.
Wow.
So, yep. And it's growing. I mean, in 2014, it was 7 billion, then 10 billion in 16, and then 17, it was almost 14 billion. So it's growing like crazy. But can you imagine? There's 525,000 shows like ours. Well, not as good as ours, but.
You know, right. Yeah. Not like ours. Not like we're ours. Like the only one that does a show that's live about horses. I can guarantee it.
That is true. We claim that spot. So. And nobody else is crazy enough to, that's why. But yeah, there's some numbers for you. And we thank everybody for listening to this one. We thank you for contributing to our 2,000 episodes and actually millions of downloads over the years. So we appreciate every download and we appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody, have a great Monday. Get rid of those Monday blues. Spay, neuter, geld. Go ride your horse this evening.